Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday nights are focused on the coming of the Lord, first Advent, the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. And we spend some time, and I have these certain Sundays, with the Old Testament. Somebody says, well, the Old Testament, I want you to know that God has made a promise. And He's a promise keeper. He made the promise all the way through the Old Testament. And I want you to know this book is all about Jesus. All 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, all about Jesus. And I think a lot of people have missed, certainly in the Old Testament days, missed this promise. I don't want us to miss it either. I want to go to another Old Testament. It's going to make it really easy for you today. This is the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter number 3. And when we think about the book of Genesis, certainly we think about the first of everything, the first day, the first plant, the first ocean, the first mountain, the first animal, the first fish, the first bird, the first man, the first woman, everything's the first. And I want you to go right here in chapter 3, verse 15. We have the first promise of Christmas, of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. It's a promise concerning the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. It's the promise of the anointed one coming into the world. It's a promise to the world which has rebelled and continues to rebel against God. It's a promise to all of us who have fallen in sin. I was born in sin. You were born in sin. We're of the heritage of Adam and Eve. We all have been born since that day, have been born in sin. And this is a promise to all of us who have fallen in sin. It's a promise of the response to man's sin. It's a response. God makes a promise. And it's a promise also, and don't miss this, it's given to Satan. It's given to him as well. Because he is going to meet his day. And it's a promise to him also. Christmas was never really celebrated in the early church. It really didn't come around until the 3rd century. Many of the early church would not participate in special days because there were so many that the Romans had that were pagan days that they stayed away from them. The church didn't want to participate in any of those things. So for them, in the early church, every day was a celebration of the glorious birth and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we worship on Sunday. It's the first day of the week. Why? Because that's when Jesus rose from the dead. We're celebrating the resurrection today. Because this is the day that we're worshiping, the first day of the week. And every day was a celebration for them. And it really wasn't until the 3rd century that a date was actually set aside to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't want to bust too many bubbles today, but December the 25th is not when Jesus was born. Now, I told you I was going through all the information about the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout this month and next Sunday evening. I think many of us may have questions about how do those wise guys, I mean wise men, from the Orient know to go find the King of Kings. We're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to see how they knew. Because it was sometime later. And then on that next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday, bring your Bible with you, ready to study. I'll give you a little handout with all the Israeli months, Jewish months, and we're going to find out exactly when Jesus was born. Not in my opinion. These are the kind of things I think we need to know because this birth of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to us in flesh is significant as a not only a theological issue, but a personal experience that those of you who have called upon the name of the Lord, it is significant to know that God sent a response to the sin of all of mankind. And the celebration of his birth, however important it is, it's significant for all of us who were born in sin. What is the incarnation? The big word just means in the flesh. That Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That God manifested himself. He revealed himself, who he is, in the flesh of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How he do that? I don't know. show himself. Because the Bible says God is spirit. But he can manifest all of his divineness in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brought him here on earth. God came to us in the person that is named Jesus Christ to be my Savior and to your Savior, our personal Savior, and to be the Savior of the whole world for all whomsoever would call upon the name of the Lord. It's for everyone, for all people, all the world. So the first promise of Christmas, and most of us like to think, well, you must go back to Luke chapter 1 where it says, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found your favor with God in the Lord. You will receive your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. Now, that wasn't the first promise. This promise is not the first promise. Now, how about Matthew 1:23, where the angel said to Joseph, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Which, by the way, is a quote from Isaiah. Where the prophet tells that the Messiah would be born in the littlest town of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, meaning Bethlehem. Here, we have also in Isaiah 7:14, where the angel quoted Joseph. But the first promise was not then. It's right here in Genesis chapter 3. If you have your Bible open, come to me there. Come turn with me there. And look at verse 15. The Bible says, I will put enmity and the woman. Now, the you there is Satan. It's the devil. And between your seed, that's the devil, and her seed. Now, your seed being the devil, the Antichrist, you know that. And your seed being the woman, ultimately will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall bruise your head, and he shall bruise his heel. And so he's speaking to the devil here. And he's speaking to them about the first promise, the very first promise. Now, isn't it interesting that this coming to us in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of a judgment? This promise comes in the midst of a judgment upon Satan. Why? Satan is the one who convinced Eve to eat of the tree of the fruit of and because of that, sin is in the world. God is holy. God is holy. And when man did that, man broke their holiness of God. And from then on, sin is in. That's why we grow weak in our grass. Everything has been corrupted because of sin. And in the midst of this pronouncement, this promise, given right in the middle of a pronouncement of judgment on the Son and on the devil, Christmas began in the heart of God, and it is complete only when it comes into your heart. So let's take a look at a couple of things here that we see in this passage. The promise is certainly a spiritual conflict. Notice it uses the word enmity. That literally means warfare. Warfare. God says, I'm going to put warfare between you, the devil, you, Satan, and the woman, Eve. I'm going to put war between you. There's going to be a fight between you two. Between your seed, Satan, and her seed. It will bruise your head, Satan, and there's a fight coming on. It says there's going to be a fight. There's a war that's waged, and it's still waging today, thousands of years later. It's still going on. And notice, God didn't ask any questions here. He didn't ask the devil to give his side the score. I always want to go to the other side of the story. God didn't do that. It's just a judgment, period. There's no argument. There's no side of history. God didn't enter into a dialogue with the devil. By the way, you shouldn't either. You shouldn't enter into a dialogue with the devil. You'll lose. We'll all lose. See, the truth is, we don't have to fight. We've already got the victory. Just let him know it. It comes to you with any temptations. It comes to you with some kind of trying to trip you up in some way. Just remind him about Jesus. He don't like that. Because he knows, he understands. In fact, the Bible teaches us he knows what Scripture says. He knows what the end is. But don't try to fight him. God judged him right there on the spot and declared war against the the good news. Why we're here today to celebrate the good news, the good tidings. Remember the words of the shepherds heard that first night, Luke 1? Do not be afraid, but behold, I bring you good tidings, that means good news, of great joy, which will be to all people. This verse goes all the way back, right there in Luke chapter 1, goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. And in context, in order to have good news, there had to be bad news. And the bad news is that man sinned. And that sin has been perpetrated forever and ever and ever in mankind. And all of us born in sin. That's the bad news. Sin separates us from God. And it separates us from God for eternity if you don't call upon the name of Jesus Christ. There's no second chance. There's no purgatory. There's no other level. This is it. It's here to decide whether we choose Jesus or to reject what God has given to us. Man disobeyed God. And as a result of that, death and despair and discouragement and depravity entered this world. I don't think we have to take a vote here on that. This is who we are, is what the Lord has made you. In the end, in the therefore he sent his only begotten Son. And so everything goes through the Father. Then what's the solution to the problem of sin? Couldn't come through the seed of man. Couldn't come through the seed of man because man has sinned. And so it had to come through the seed of the woman. But that's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about the fact that in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, there's the promise of the virgin birth. And look, right there in chapter 3, the virgin birth right there. I mean, stop and think about the amazing amount of grace and mercy and forgiveness that is in that one verse, in the first book of the Bible. God pronounced a judgment upon Satan, at the same time made a promise to recover us from that sin, to restore us from that sin. Because why? Because he is all grace and all mercy and full of forgiveness. And when I call upon the name of the Lord to come into my life when I'm 32 years old, he forgave me. I know a lot of us have known a lot of stuff I did in the past, and it's hard to forgive myself, and we think, wow, God, you might be a God forgave me. That means it's covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's covered in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's going to come a woman just like one of you. She was just a young girl who was faithful, and God recognized that she wasn't any special than anyone else except one who was being faithful. God saw her faith, chose her, and I believe that God was going to provide a person to restore and renew that which was destroyed because of disobedience. Jump up and down because, oh, you know, I need hope. We all need hope. We all need hope. And there's a beacon of hope right in the first book. Although to Satan, it was God's declaration of war. And it's going to climax in a condemnation and ultimately cast into the lake of fire. He's gone forever. To Eve, to her, it was an assurance that she was forgiven and that God would use a woman to bring the Redeemer of the world. It's the gospel of salvation. That one verse is the gospel of salvation. That's the good news. That's why we gather here on Sunday. That's why we gather together on the Lord's Day, to rejoice in the good news that we have in the midst of the bad news of what sin is doing to the temple. Not only the spiritual conflict that was going on and the spiritual and the special conception, look at the total conflict here. He started this battle. Praise God. Jesus can finish it. Praise God. He's going to finish it. The Bible says he will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. What's the difference? Well, one you get over and the other one you don't. That's the simplest way to say it. One's temporary, one's eternal. What's the temporary bruise? The temporary bruise is the cross. That's the temporary bruise. You know what the terminal bruise is? Finished word of Jesus on the cross. When he says it is finished, Satan's condemnation is done. His power, yes, he can live on this earth and he can create all kinds of tragedies and difficulties and depravities, but the truth of the matter is, he's defeated. He's defeated already. And at Calvary, Jesus, as the seed, destroyed Satan's power and his authority. First man, Eve, the first woman, had failed God's test. Don't eat from that tree. They failed that test. They disobeyed him. And so they inherited sin and nature, which exists in all of us. All of us. We can do all we can to try to change it. We can try all kinds of ways to change our waywardness. We can. There's no doubt. I have to put some testimony certain. I tried before I accepted the Lord. You tried to just promise me. I'm not going to do that anymore. But that was all in the flesh, and I found in my own strength, and it's worth nothing. And I always failed, and always, you're always saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And it just goes on and on. just as was without sin, and just as we are not, we have sin, he was totally sinless. And Jesus was our substitute. This is the great news that he stood in my place. I deserve it because of my sin. But he took my place, he paid the price, and God accepted his blood sacrifice for me and for you. That's why my blood sacrifice from the book of Leviticus says, life in the blood. Life in the blood. And therefore, blood had to be shed. In the Old Testament, they did it with these animals, but that was all just a foreshadowing. The Old Testament was always pointing towards Jesus. It was always foreshadowing and pointing towards Jesus will return in all of power and all of his glory. He'll come to this earth and he'll set up his kingdom of righteousness that we will live with him. And finally, Satan and his demons will be crushed. That'll be the end of it. They will be cast into the lake of the fire. And not only are we being delivered from the power and the penalty of sin, praise God, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. No more temptation, no more issues of sin, my friend. My little finite brain cannot even comprehend what it would be like living pure righteousness. See, you and I, the only thing we have to compare to is life today. Life today is not so bad. It's a mess. It seems to be getting more and more immoral all the time. And yet one day we're going to be pure righteousness. Pure righteousness. We won't even have the presence of sin. It's so important. I'm ready. I know that most Christmas trees this year on December 5th will be many gifts. Many gifts. We'll go through that fall. But gifts will empower us to do this morning. There's one gift. Gifts. In other words, I receive what Jesus